And now, from the Green 960 studios in San Francisco, this is an organic conversation with Helga Hellberg and Mark Mulcahy.
And welcome to this week's edition of An Organic Conversation, a show about food, relationships, and life itself. We're your hosts, Helga Hellberg.
And Mark Mulcahy.
Thank you for all the questions and comments that we've received. Sharon writes, if Prop 19 passed, could hemp be grown legally in California? If so, isn't that a huge potential agricultural boon to the state, and shouldn't folks be getting that word out? Sharon, well, we know now that Prop 19 didn't pass, but if it had, Mark, it did not cover hemp in
any
way.
No, it didn't cover hemp. It would have been great. Actually, we did a show on hemp just a few weeks back.
Yeah, a couple of weeks. Yes, and, 2 weeks ago.
And we talked about all the benefits of hemp and why. And we actually brought up during that show that we wished it would have been, the bill would have been written to cover hemp, but it was not.
And I understood there was a little bit of legality, big companies perhaps taking over marijuana, medicinal marijuana production. It wasn't perfectly written, from what I understand. Either way, unfortunately, it didn't pass. And yes, we had a great show on hemp and the differences between hemp and marijuana.
Yeah.
And that you literally cannot get high on hemp.
Well,
on the plant,
and
unless you smoke an entire acre field. And I know you tried. It didn't work.
Right? And actually, pot growers wouldn't want hemp to be grown. They would, because there's actually some friends of mine live up in Nelson, British Columbia, where there happens to be a little bit of marijuana.
Don't give
grown.
The address away.
I won't. And they were saying that there was a grower who wanted to grow hemp up there because Canada grows a lot of hemp. And the marijuana growers in the area actually came and bought his farm from him. Because if it cross-pollinates, then it ruins the marijuana, yeah.
Yes. But interesting that we don't allow the growth of hemp, which is such a beneficial plant. And again, it doesn't have
It doesn't have the THC.
It has a
minute amount of THC.
But it has. I'm German. I'm such a good. I don't even know THC. Uh-huh. No, I forgot.
Well, it was that pure life you led as a youngster.
Yes,
too.
But that we don't allow the growth of hemp or medicinal marijuana in this country, but we do allow guns. That's always
you're talking about a whole other
Europe.
Show.
Yeah.
So just to
we'll
keep
cover
to the
that.
Question here.
Something to work on for sure. Anyway, thank you, Sharon, for inquiring about that. And yes, please listen to the show if you like. 2 weeks ago on hemp. Great guests, great show. But 19 did not pass. You're listening to An Organic Conversation here on Green 960. I'm Helga Hellberg.
And I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And we are very excited about our guests today. What do a farmer, a florist, and a certification agency have in common? A love for flowers. Organic flowers, in this case. Find out more on what's the story of flower production and why we should care of what we bring into our homes when we come back right after the break. And we are back here to An Organic Conversation. I'm Helga Hellberg.
And I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And today we're talking about flowers. With us in the studio is Silke van Bauer, operator and owner of Local Flora, a sustainable flower store and eclectic nursery in San Anselmo, a small and beautiful town in Marin County, Northern California. Silke, welcome to the show.
Hello,
yes,
Mark.
Welcome.
Hello,
yes.
Helga.
When did you start Local Flora, and what do people find when they come to your store?
Local Flora was started in 2008, so we're in our third year, and we have created a little enclave that celebrates West Marin's aesthetic. You walk in and the entire interior was built with recycled barn wood. So you're standing in a store that right away gives you a wonderful sense of the vernacular, the beautiful Marin tradition of farming and a rugged landscape. So we have a beautiful offering of California-grown flowers. And that is my official compromise, as it is incredibly difficult to carry organic flowers, so I settled on sustainable flowers. Mm-hmm. I keep it local. I support the local growers in our state instead of importing long distance. And so we are a walk-in flower shop where you can get a quick bouquet for $10-$15 wrapped to go to bring home to your wife or girlfriend. Or you could order
a special husband
or boyfriend or a dance.
We like flower show hosts.
I brought you some.
Yes,
yes, you
beautiful.
Did.
I brought you some iris fresh off the farm. And in addition to the walk-in, we're also delivering flowers all over Marin. So we do arrangements. So we're a very traditional flower store within the concept that we deliver. We do weddings, funerals, birthdays. And yet we really have strived to embrace a different direction from traditional flower stores in that we are trying to be a green flower shop.
And so right before the show, you said it's not an organic store, even though many of your flowers are actually grown organically. But it goes in a way even further than that. You were talking about the foam that is used in some flowers. You don't use that. You got rid of that. How do you define your sourcing in terms of sustainability? What are the markers for you that are really important that a grower has to meet?
Yeah, I have a hierarchy in my buying strategies. In the summer when the local agriculture really kicks out organic product, that is my first choice. I have some organic farmers from Woodacre and Davies that are now directly supplying me and bringing me their crops to my shop. Then there are small-scale growers right in our county that share their surplus with us. We often barter, which is a wonderful concept, too. So we get product that's incredibly fresh, and the carbon footprint of the transportation is minimal since product often just comes from a 3-mile radius. Then I have developed relationships with local tree companies. So I have oftentimes big piles of branches at my back gate waiting for me in the mornings, also on a bartering concept. And so we use as filler materials, we use local greenery that otherwise would have ended up in the landfill through the chipper. And our pieces with that selection have a beautiful local look. So you're not just getting greenhouse produced ferns that have been traditionally used in arrangements. So that creates a very local piece. And outside of the summer when the organic farms aren't producing flowers, my second choice then is to go with locally grown products up and down the coast, all the way from Arcata down to San Diego, from greenhouse growers. And my roses year-round come from Petaluma, from a farmer. So never Ecuadorian, never Colombian, never Mexican. So,
With us is Silke van Bauer, the owner of Local Flora, a sustainable florist and eclectic nursery in San Anselmo, a small town in Marin County, California. Small but beautiful and very progressively minded. Let's talk about that. Ecuador, I know the non-organic flower industry is $100+ billion industry. 70+% of all flowers in the U.S. don't come actually from the United States. They're grown somewhere else. And you have some background in that as well, right? You know the industry
pretty
well. Yeah,
I know the wholesale industry actually really well. And I have a background. I was trained as a landscape architect and then worked with floral designers through college to help with events and then slowly got into retail. And once I really understood the wholesale side, where the flowers come from, where they're grown, and I realized by the time that rose arrangement on your dining table reaches your home, how much gasoline have those roses consumed? And that's an absurd concept to me, that you're enjoying something and you're supposed to find joy and pleasure for your life and health smelling these beautiful flowers. And in fact, they can make you ill from all the chemicals that have been poured on them, the it makes the people who are handling them in those countries sick. And at the same time, we're putting our local farmers out of business, and we're buying up their farmland to build subdivisions and mini malls. And so I feel very strongly about supporting the people around us. And California has a very rich agricultural history with flowers, and I would love to see that going forward.
Yeah, continue.
Keep the growing going.
And I have friends who used to be in the flower business, who live in Half Moon Bay, and their family grew up selling flowers, and the farmer took it over. He's now still doing roses, plants of roses, and organic farming on his land. But he said he had at one point in time had to get out of the flower business because of, with all the imports, he couldn't afford to grow. And so these people that you're supporting, you're really making a huge difference in that local economy to keep them going. It's really making a big difference.
Yeah, we all like to read that bumper sticker, you know, act locally, act globally, shop locally, or however you say it. But you got to put your actions where your bumper sticker mm-hmm. is. And we all have to support what we value. Mm-hmm. So I feel if it costs an extra quarter per bouquet, it's well worth it to support our.
And you're making a good point, especially if it's flowers. It's you know, I don't want to call it a luxury item because beauty is part of our life, and but it is something that is focused on beauty that we bring into the home. And in non-organic production, you mentioned the carbon footprint of shipping it from, you know, half across the world, but there's also farm worker health at stake, and you know, many issues related to pesticides in those countries, even in the flower production. The biggest producer is Holland, I understand, still in non-organic production. Not much different than, you know, in other parts of the world that grow flowers. So organic is, in this case, a good choice. What do people in your community say? How you started in 2008.
Yeah.
How has it been?
I believe I had to carve out a special niche within the world of flower shops. Flower shops are a little bit of a dying breed these days. Everybody competes with every supermarket, every big chain store has a cheapo sure. floral corner where you can grab your cheap dozen roses to go. No questions asked. It's the standard of living we've all come accustomed to. We want the prices of the cheap imports without really thinking about how does it affect our communities or our world. So I needed to create a little bit of a different concept and make people be aware how important it is to embrace a different direction in this industry. So I've advocated my path and my choices quite vocally. I talk a lot about it, and it's wonderful to be invited to your show and let people know the dark side of the floral industry so the consumers can make better choices. Every once in a while, I have a customer who walks in and we introduce the shop. Hi, welcome to Local Flora. We're a sustainable flower shop. And they have big eyes and wonder, what's the point? But that happens very rarely, and it's a wonderful conversation we can have right then and there and let people know why we're making these choices. And quite often, it's a great dialogue that starts.
You're listening to an organic conversation here on Green 960. I'm Helge Helberg.
And I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And with us is Silke von Bauer, the owner of Local Flora, a sustainable florist and eclectic nursery in Marin County, California. And, you know, I think we had the same conversations about, you know, why local flowers, why sustainable flowers in the organic movement 30 years ago, right? People thought this is not necessary perhaps in the beginning or didn't really take it seriously or weren't quite aware of what's at stake. And we just had a great show 3 weeks ago, I think, with about eco-jewelry, recycled metals, precious metals. Priolo and Company was on the show. And now you can find sustainable solutions and a better way of doing it, kind of the true way of doing it, the real story, in every aspect of life. So that's why we wanted to do the show today, because flowers is one of those areas that is kind of overlooked still. It's kind of it's growing fast, perhaps, the organic flower industry, and yet it's not in the news every day of, again, what's at stake and the ripple effect of non-organic production versus organic production or sustainable flowers versus non-sustainable flowers. But you feel now 3 years into it, right?
Yeah, three years into it.
That the community is
has really embraced us.
Becoming aware of the importance of what we offer. And I have to add, I have...
I brought along with that also my socialist values growing up in Germany. So I have a staff of people that get a very nice hourly wage, and I have very skilled, wonderfully talented people on my crew. So we produce a product that's gorgeous, that's absolutely stunning. Over and over, people come in and comment on deliveries they've received and how it was the most beautiful thing that ever entered their home. So that's really the second side of the store, that you got to produce a product that really takes people's breath away and looks a little bit different from what they used to.
In fact, your flowers are so beautiful that even the White House asked you to work with them, and we'll talk about that after the break. Wasn't that a good teaser? You're listening to An Organic Conversation. I'm Helge Helbert.
And I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And we'll be right back.
My name is Earl Herrick, and I am the owner of Earl's Organic Produce, a San Francisco Bay Area distributor fully committed to organic produce. From the time one could find organic fruits and vegetables only in natural food stores to now, when schools and fine restaurants feature organic, we have been forging relationships with growers for over 20 years. If you want to offer the finest organic produce to your employees or customers, find us at earlsorganic.com. That's earlsorganic.com.
Have you heard of Local Dirt? It's the new online site for finding, selling, and buying local food. LocalDirt.com features local farms, their stores, photos, and lists everything local farmers grow and produce. Find local products in your area, in your region, or anywhere in the U.S. Want to find a farmer's market or get together with your friends and start a buying club? Local Dirt does all that at no charge. Go local with Local Dirt. Find out more at LocalDirt.com.
LocalDirt.com is a project funded by the National Science Foundation in support of local agriculture and local communities.
Sungevity, a company specializing in residential solar, is on a mission to bring solar to the mainstream market. Sungevity is changing the solar industry by making solar energy simple, efficient, and affordable for every homeowner. In most cases, Sungevity doesn't even need to visit your home to provide an estimate. Just plug in your address and we'll use satellite images and aerial photography to determine your home's solar potential. Go to Sungevity.com or call 866-SUN-4ALL to make going solar a reality today.
Fry Vineyards is America's first organic winery, family-owned and operated since 1980. Dedicated to the highest levels of organic and biodynamic farming, Fry never adds synthetic sulfites or other preservatives to their wines. Fry organic and biodynamic wines include delicious Cabernet Sauvignon, Zinfandel, Syrah, Chardonnay, and Sauvignon Blanc. Fry Vineyards Mendocino County award-winning wines without added sulfites. Available at grocery stores and online at frywine.com. That's FREYWINE.com.
Marin Organic, an association of organic food producers in Marin County, California, is helping to create a healthy and sustainable food shed just north of the Golden Gate Bridge. A model for how to feed a region in a way that is economically viable, environmentally sound, socially just, and culturally appropriate. The opportunity to change the world is right on our plates. Be a part of the solution. For more information on Marin Organic and how to support its efforts, visit marinorganic.org.
And we're back here to An Organic Conversation. I'm Helge Helberg.
And I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And today we're talking about flowers. With us in the studio still is Silke von Bauer, owner and operator of Local Flora, a sustainable flower store in San Anselmo in Marin County, Northern California. And with us, joining us from Guinda, California now, is Drew Rivers, farmer and co-owner of Full Belly Farm, a 300-acre certified organic operation. Drew, thanks for being on the show.
Hi.
Hi.
Thank you for having me.
How are you, and how is Full Belly? We are in mid-November. What's going on?
It's so beautiful. Today especially, we have colored leaves and sky's blue and all the hills are turning green. So we're excited to have fall and wet weather again.
And it is the end of the season, isn't it? Or do you have year-round production more or less? Is it slowing down at all, ever?
Year-round. Yeah, we're year-round for sure. I wish we had a winter season with snow, but no, we're picking still lots of greens and lettuces and even still a few flowers. So,
So you are a mixed crop operation. You grow, in fact, over 100 different varieties of produce and products, including flowers. What do you grow? Give us a landscape of.
Yeah, so we are primarily mixed vegetables. We grow 80 different kinds of vegetables throughout the year, tomatoes, melons, lots of potatoes and asparagus. And then this season, this time of year, we're growing lots of greens and beets and to add to that mix, we have nuts, walnuts, and almonds, and then also fruit trees, peaches, apricots, plums, and lots of sort of this's and that's. Pomegranates we're picking right now and persimmons. So, yeah, it's very much a mixed operation.
So, hey, Drew, it's Mark Mulcahy.
Hi, Mark.
How are you doing? It's been a long time.
Great. Nice to hear your voice.
It's wonderful to hear your voice. Hey, Drew, can you mentioned that you still do have some flowers growing here in November. And could you tell us some of the things that you still have that you could put in a bouquet or that you're growing now? And question number two is, what are the benefits to the farm of growing flowers?
Yeah, so I just was out yesterday. Because we haven't yet had a killing frost, I'm still picking the most beautiful zinnias. We're still picking dahlias. We have lavender that sort of rebooted itself for the fall. Black-eyed Susans. So the flowers are still in full force. We're also in the midst of planting all of our spring flowers. So, you know, for me, there's lots of reasons why they benefit the farm. One is they're incredibly beautiful. We have a lot of visitors that come for educational events at our farm, and the flowers add stunning beauty to the farm. But they also are great for insects. Some of the perennials that we grow provide year-round habitat for beneficial insects, bird life. They're all planted all around the farm so that we can sort of count on them as pollen providers for pollinators and just, you know, various reasons they're great, besides being very economically beneficial to the farm. We've really slowly increased the flowers because at a farmer's market we have found that people are really wanting organic flowers.
You're listening to an organic conversation here on Green 960. I'm Helge Hellberg.
I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And today we're talking all about flowers. With us on the phone from Guinda, California, is Drew Rivers, farmer and co-owner of Full Belly Farm, a 300-acre mixed crop operation. And she also grows some beautiful, beautiful flowers. Drew, let's talk about that. How important are flowers for you, both in your product mix, as well as what's the response from people? Are people kind of waking up, becoming aware of the fact or the difference between organic and or sustainably grown and non-organic flowers? We had a conversation with...
I'll answer your first question.
Yes.
We are a 300-acre farm, and so we, you know, kind of list our crops by our income each year, and flowers have risen to the number 4 position.
Wow.
So that's really exciting for me. And I, you know, I can't say enough about the, you know, how people have started to respond to the fact that our flowers are certified organic. More and more people are really getting excited about the fact that they can find flowers that aren't sprayed and have been treated, you know, organically. So we're finding that interest is soaring right now.
That's so great to hear, because I, Drew, we've known each other a long time, and I can remember bringing your bouquets in, oh gosh, 25 years ago or 20 years ago or something like that, when you were first, your sweet peas were like the beginning of spring. I knew spring was here when the full belly sweet peas came in. And I just have to say, when you're talking about these flowers, I can hear you smiling.
Totally.
And it reminds me, there was a quote by Emerson where he says, "The earth laughs in flowers." And that's always something that has made me smile, because every time I see a coreopsis or I see some dahlias or something like that, I can't help but smile. And I can hear that in your voice when you're talking about the flowers on the farm. This really does bring you a lot of joy, doesn't it?
Yeah, it sure does. I feel we are four partners that own and run Full Belly Farm, and I feel so fortunate to be the one that gets to be the flower coordinator. So I do all the planning, organizing where and when we're going to be planting the flowers, and I can't tell you enough how much I love my job, and I'm worried I could go on for hours about how much flowers bring a lot of joy to me and the farm.
I think people are getting it right now, yeah. Drew, we have an in-studio guest here, Silke von Bauer. She owns Local Flora, a sustainable florist, flower store and eclectic nursery in San Anselmo. And she was talking about the difficulty of having a year-round local organic supply. Are you able to have organic flowers grown year-round? Do you have greenhouses, or does it die in January until April or so? What's the season for you?
We do. We definitely have a down season. So usually it's from mid-November till about mid-February. And we do not do greenhouse production. We've just decided that to try and keep it out of the realm of that complexity. We do all of our flowers are field grown. So we do have those 3 months of down. But starting February, we're full on with bulbs. So right now I'm planting, I think we just finished planting about 20,000 bulbs, tulips, iris, ranunculus, anemones. So this is the time of year for all the gardeners to get out and plant their bulbs, which will then be here in mid to late February, and they'll just be so beautiful for, 3 months. So that starts our spring flowers, and then we go on to a lot of the annual spring flowers and then summer. So we are able to go pretty much nine months of the year.
And where do you sell your flowers? Like, could we just connect you to Silke after the show? She's just giving us thumb up here.
Yes. So we wholesale our flowers to stores.
Oh,
we do mixed bouquets. We do farmers markets. And then also along with our CSA program of vegetables, people can get a bunch of flowers in addition to their box of vegetables. So that program has really started to take off too, and I'd be glad to talk to her.
Drew Rivers, farmer and co-owner of Full Belly Farm, a 300-acre mixed crop operation, certified organic in Guinda, California. Drew, do you grow mainly ornamentals, or do you have edible flowers as well? Or can you eat most flowers? What's the story with flowers and fruit?
We do grow some edibles. Mostly that we sell them as ornamentals, but we definitely get inquiries about flowers. We have calendulas that we offer as edible. Tulips are even edible, actually. There's so many that you can eat. Maybe don't taste great, but the calendula is a really great example of one that's so simple to grow and both ornamental and edible.
Mm-hmm. And even more important that they're then organic, of course.
Right.
Drew, do you have a favorite flower, or does that change throughout the season?
Well, right now I'm looking at a beautiful bunch of dahlias. They are, those are maybe my favorite fall flowers. But in the spring, I have to give it over to ranunculus, the bulbs. Mm-hmm. They're just mm-hmm. so fun to plant something that is ugly and brown and can't imagine that it would ever turn into this this riot of color in the spring. So they're one of our first flowers that come in the spring, and they are certainly the favorite of the flower pickers. So,
you know, Drew, you were talking about dahlias. I drove by a dahlia field up in Sonoma County the other day, just a small little farm that does lots of dahlias, and I cannot even believe the array of color that is available in dahlias. It may be more than any other flower I've ever seen. I mean, there's a lot of flowers that have lots of varieties of color, but I looked in this field and I thought, oh my goodness, how can this possibly be? I thought I was in Oz for a second.
Mark, if people wanted, we have a Facebook page, Full Belly Farm, and yesterday we took pictures of the zinnias that are in full bloom right now, you can't imagine November having beautiful zinnias, but we're going to post it on our Facebook page so they could look at that riot of color, too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Perfect. Thank you so much. That's Drew Rivers, farmer and co-owner of Full Belly Farm, a 300-acre mixed crop operation in Guinda, California. And that website is fullbellyfarm.com. And what's the Facebook page? Just Full Belly Farm?
It's Full Belly Farm. Yep.
Great.
Yeah.
Thank you, Drew. Pleasure to have you.
Thank you.
Your joy is infectious.
I encourage everybody to grow more flowers.
Yes, we will.
Thank you,
our goal. Thank you, Drew.
Bye-bye.
We'll talk to you soon. You're listening to An Organic Conversation here on Green 960. I'm Helge Hellberg.
And I'm Mark Volkehi.
And that was Drew Rivers talking about flowers. And with us in the studio is Silke von Bauer, owner and operator of Local Flora. Wow, that is some infectious flower love.
Yes. Yes, we're all buzzing from Drew's.
Well, I have to say, I kept looking over at you, and you had this grin on your face like someone is talking my language,
yes,
you know, that you were just, were home in that conversation. And it was just so nice to see your beautiful smile sitting over there, just grinning ear to ear.
Drew and all the other organic farmers out there are my absolute heroes. I have to say it, the way they have taken responsibility for the way we treat our environment and we conduct business is to me the only way to walk the world. And thank you, Drew, for being true to what's right.
Yeah, hopefully every person on this planet will love their job soon as much as Drew loves growing her flowers. Wouldn't that be a great world?
I have to
walk into
a
bank and it's like, oh, this checking account.
Helge, I've never felt so happy in my work as I do right now, following my heart and my opinion, my convictions, and being able to work with my hand with an incredibly beautiful medium. Mm-hmm. And it's very fulfilling.
She touched on ornamental flowers and edible flowers. I love when I get a salad or whatever kind of meal, and there are just a few blossoms of flowers in it too. Remind me that, you know, the entire insect world, everything came together to make that meal. It's literally the reminder on whatever the main dish might be. Often I can't really taste the flowers, but what's your take on edible flowers, and do you sell them too?
Well, we take it the other way around. I don't have a restaurant, I have a flower shop, but quite often we bring edible items into our design work. So we work with fruit and
nice.
Vegetables and herbs, lots of herbs. We really love working with rosemary and blooming oreganos and kales, decorative kales. And so that brings a little unexpected item into it. We get to utilize more organic produce. Rose hips right now in the fall, I just absolutely love. Amaranth, which after your bouquet is done, you can throw in the garden and the birds will come and finish it. And then it's not an edible, but we work a lot with succulents. So we use succulents, and later when the arrangement is done, people can stick them right in their garden. They're easy to take root. So it's another way to have the beauty of your bouquet last and make it be extra special.
Mm-hmm. And it goes, I mean, it's so interesting how in the world of ecology, where everything is interconnected, so in your store, it's no longer that that one flower or that one bouquet only, and maybe some greenery. You really go all out, right? There's some
We love going all out. We start with rocks in the vase, and then fill the glass with either leaves or
so it's much more a display of nature than just a flower bouquet.
Yes, and I think that's where my landscape architectural background and design background really comes in. That I've become compulsively aware of my surroundings. Everything in my landscape, I look at almost like a painter, as a medium for myself, is, wow, look at that foliage. Wow, look at these branches. Look at the bark. And down to, I cannot go past a eucalyptus tree without filling my trunk with the bark that's down in the dirt. And then we use the bark to wrap vases, or we slide it right into the vases, and the whole piece looks incredibly gorgeous. So I've become kind of a thing finder out there in the world, and all our pieces have this beautiful local touch.
And many people share that, because once you are exposed to it, we manifest in the presence of the other, whatever that other may be, even if it's a beautiful array of nature. People recognize it. So you were invited to work with the White House. One of your staffers went. Tell us the story. How did this happen, and what was the work?
We have, like I mentioned, I have a wonderful crew, and one of them is Samantha Payne, who grew up in Marin County in Mill Valley. She's a local girl, and she walked into my store 2 years ago and has become the heart of the shop.
Force of nature.
People come into the shop and think Samantha is local flora. Mm-hmm. She's in the shop most of the time. She's the retail manager, and she actually has worked in many different fields herself. She was a set builder and a florist. She trained in New York and in England. And through her journey, she's made connections that have come back to the point where last year she was invited to help with the annual Christmas decorations. And it was a great honor to be invited.
And what an experience.
Yeah, so she took that opportunity, and we shared that story with the community. It was in the newspaper and on TV, and it was unbelievable how many people have come in to meet her, to hear the story. She wanted to look at her pictures, how she's met the First Lady, and it's really sweet how the community has embraced us and shared in the love of that story. And Samantha, I would say, still high from that.
I would say, yeah, just as high as Drew. You're listening to An Organic Conversation here on Green 960. I'm Helge Helver.
And I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And we're talking about organic and sustainable flowers. More of that right when we come back after the break.
Sungevity wants solar energy to be available to everyone. It's that simple. And with the new Sungevity Solar Lease, it can be. The Sungevity Solar Lease makes it easy to power your home with clean, renewable energy and save money every month, all with no money down and low monthly payments over 10 years. Go to Sungevity.com or call 866-SUN-4ALL to make going solar a reality today.
Have you heard of Local Dirt? LocalDirt.com is the new online marketplace, your site to buy, sell, find, and feature local produce and products. Start a buying club, sign up for a local CSA or box program in your area, or purchase the freshest and healthiest local products your region has to offer directly from the farm, anywhere you live. LocalDirt.com, your place for local food.
LocalDirt.com is a project funded by the National Science Foundation in support of local agriculture and local communities.
Are you a business or a restaurant looking for the finest organic produce for your employees or customers? Earl's Organic Produce is a San Francisco Bay Area distributor fully committed to organic produce. Earl's has been building relationships with organic growers locally and beyond the Bay Area since 1988. so Earls offers the ability to choose produce from many growers of all sizes throughout the changing seasons. For the finest organic produce, visit earlsorganic.com. That's earlsorganic.com.
Fry Vineyards is America's first organic winery, family-owned and operated since 1980. Dedicated to the highest levels of organic and biodynamic farming, Fry never adds synthetic sulfites or other preservatives to their wines. Fry organic and biodynamic wines include delicious Cabernet Sauvignon, Zinfandel, Syrah, Chardonnay, and Sauvignon Blanc. Fry Vineyards Mendocino County award-winning wines, without added sulfites. Available at grocery stores and online at frywine.com. That's FREYWINE.com.
Hi, I'm Peter Walsh. My wife and I founded Manika Jewelry with the intention to offer a different kind of jewelry. Beautiful, made by local Bay Area artists, and without a social or environmental compromise. Our featured designers use reclaimed precious metals and Kimberly certified gemstones. It's jewelry made with heart and soul. Come visit our store just off Union Square at 11 Maiden Lane in San Francisco, or visit our website at manikajewelry.com.
And we are back here to an organic conversation on Green 960. I'm Helge Hellberg.
And I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And today we're talking about organic and sustainable flowers. With us in the studio is Silke van Bauer, owner and operator of Local Flora, a sustainable flower store and eclectic nursery in San Anselmo, Marin County, Northern California. And on the phone with us, joining us now from Emeryville, California, is Michael Keyes. Dr. Michael Keyes is the certification manager of Veriflora. Michael, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks for having me on.
Fantastic. I know you just got back from yet another trip. You're traveling quite a bit. Thanks for making the time to be with us. Veriflora, you have been in agriculture and forestry for over 25 years. What was the point where you realized the need for a third-party certification agency that you then founded?
Well, I was actually in the Central American tropics when I first heard about the green grass in the world, which is scientific certification systems. And we helped prepare some agroforests for certification, and we realized, geez, this could be a tremendous boon for the folks out in the woods to show the world what their stuff is really made of. And just seeing how sustainable versus unsustainable landscapes work, I was just really enthusiastic about finding a place for me and not just, you know, studying, and I'm a reformed academic, studying and trying to make these systems work, but getting on the front lines and really taking it to the consumer and trying to tell their story.
So, and then you took some time to develop standards, which I understand under Veriflora, which is specifically for the flower and horticulture industry, it includes fair labor practices, right? It's not just the growing and the pesticide use that's an issue. It's also how they are grown in terms of labor in those countries. Can you tell us more about that? What's the...
Yeah, for those of you that are listening that are interested in organics, when you want to figure out, well, what's the difference between organic produced and sustainably produced? Well, many of the same elements in sustainably produced are the same as organics, but the sustainable standards are much broader. They do have the same environmental concerns. For example, in Veriflora, most of our producers are going towards organic, but there's some other issues of environment that are also involved there too. We're really checking to make sure that they're recycling, that they're not eroding. We look at their water we scrutinize how much water they're using. And as you mentioned on the social side, they're not addressed with the National Organic Program. So hiring practices, Veriflora requires a safe, healthy, clean workplace environment. They have to have worker rights, training other supervisors, and there's an area for community engagement or community benefits. They have to have charitable giving to the community and hiring. And if I just might, in addition to the broader social environmental, there's also a product quality element of Veriflora that's really important for cut flowers to make sure that you're getting a quality product that's going to last.
So we have Silke von Bauer here in the studio with us from Local Flora, the owner of a sustainable flower shop and nursery in San Anselmo, Marin County, California. Much of her product is actually Veriflora certified that she buys. What are the countries you're working in, and what does that look like? Is it much like organic certification where you send an inspector basically to check up on the operation with a set of criteria that needs to be checked up on every year, or how does it work?
It is very similar, and essentially our Veriflora program certification program is modeled after the National Organic Program. We do have a lot of certified growers here in California, for example, B&H, Green Valley Floral, Farmers West, Sun Valley, Ocean View, and Resendez Brothers. So there are a lot of certified farms here, and we also work on the other side of, if you would, the aisle. You might be purchasing certified potted plants in addition to cut flowers, and we've got about a dozen of certified nurseries, actually, that are in the program.
And as I understand it, do you also certify florists?
We certify what we call handlers. It's in the certification world, for example, the National Organic Program, NOP Organic, there's a certified producer, and then there are different, if you would, chain of custody. And there's a chain of custody certification that we call handler certification. So we do certify some wholesalers and some folks that have florists. But we have a specific program for florists. It's called a preferred retailer program. It's more than a certification. It's training the florists like the one from San Anselmo. And by the way, I live in Marin myself, on just use of the certified products so to make sure that they can understand and really take the farm story to the consumer.
Wonderful. So the non-organic flower market is at $100 billion plus. What do you see? What kind of growth do you see in the sustainable flower market? Is there a huge demand for your services to have that verification that you provide?
There is a huge demand. And we've grown from just a few farms in 2004 to around 100 farms. Right now in 2010, but let's be frank, it's really tough out there to producer. There's been some bright spots, but the economic downturn has really been tough. But in general, I'd say that as the consumers wake up, and if we were to look back 10 years ago, there was organic in terms of general purchases from the consumer. And Mark, you could correct me here. If I'm wrong, it's only about 1.4%, but we're pushing about 4% of the total produce now that's organic. And although it's still very small in terms of flowers, it's certainly growing. The idea of getting a sustainably produced flower is really increasing. It's really, frankly, exciting. There's so much more that we can get. There's so many better varieties. You can get longer vase life. It is at times that it's somewhat higher carbon footprint, but there's some really good opportunities here in California in particular, because I'd say California, we're still around 20% of the market for flowers, and you know, this is an enormous challenge here to keep people in their landscapes working here in California. And overall, we've got about 15,000 people in California, and over 250. Farms that are still producing flowers.
You're listening to an organic conversation here on Green 960. I'm Helge Helberg.
And I'm Mark Mulcahy.
And today we are talking about sustainable flower movements here in Northern California and throughout the U.S. With us on the phone is Dr. Michael Keyes, the certification manager at Veriflora, Emeryville, California, a third-party flower certification agency.
And Michael, I was wondering, you know, I was reading that, you know, 70% of the flowers sold in the U.S. are not grown here. And, you know, you were talking about that there's tough economic times and maybe people are choosing to buy less expensive flowers or something like that. But how bad is the non-sustainable or non-organic flower industry? Can you give our listeners just a little brief snippet of kind of like what they're supporting when they buy cheap flowers?
That's a good question. It's the world flower trade is somewhat complicated. You're right. It's over 70% of the flowers that we consume here and we purchase here in the United States are grown elsewhere. Probably 78-79% of those imported flowers come from two countries. It would be Ecuador and Colombia. And as a consumer, I would ask them to read what's on the bouquet. And if you're not satisfied and you're not sure what's on there, ask those people who are selling it. You want to know. It's just like another purchase. You can empower these supply chains to get greener or just the opposite.
And, Michael, so are you telling me that if I went into a store, your average supermarket or what have you, and said, I want to know how these flowers have been grown or what they've been grown with or what they've been sprayed with, that I can get that information from them?
Perhaps I've overstated or we haven't understood each other completely.
Sure.
There's a lot of brands out there, and it was interesting. I was at a conference in New York City a few weeks ago, and they said your average American consumer, and this is by the time he's 18, he can recognize about 200 brands, what they mean, whether they're tied to food or apparel, what it is. They can't recognize 20 names of plants and animals in their backyard. So you go into your flower shop and you're gonna see a whole lot of names on these bouquets, but some of those may be backed by a market claim like Veriflora. In our case, we have a label and a distinct number, so you could tie that back to the farm on our website,
or
you could ask. But most of the labels, they're just gobbledygook. It's somebody put this name on there with a label, and those are the ones that I believe the consumer, if they asked, they could get better information. You want to know, is it grown here in California? Who produces it? Who I'm really supporting with that purchase?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Dr. Michael Keyes, certification manager from Veriflora, Emeryville, California. Silke, I think you had a question.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that. I am a buyer on the wholesale level, and whenever I do see that Veriflora label, and it happens to be an addition from a California grower, it's always the first product I choose. And so I think any kind of education we can do within the floral trade that the buyers, the retail owners, look for those labels would be fantastic, because I think I'm in the minority, unfortunately. And when I go to my vendors at the San Francisco Flower Mart and say, is this California grown? Show me what's California grown. I still get funny looks, but at this point I've worked out my mapping there, and I know who to see and I know where to buy from. But that Veriflora label that we're talking about is a wonderful consumer crutch, really. It helps me, and I have to say, and the quality is always fantastic. Mm-hmm. The Veriflora product is wonderful. I have run into the situation where there are certain growers like Sun Valley Farms where they're organic crops get just completely bought up by one retail chain of the country, and nobody else has access to that. Where I wish there was more. I wish there were more organic growers within California. So,
yes, we all hope that. Know the story of your food and know the story of your flowers. Michael, thank you so much for joining us on the phone with us. Michael Keyes, the certification manager at Veriflora. If people want to learn more about Veriflora, what's the website that they can go to?
Veriflora.com.
Veriflora.com, and there's also scscertified.com.
That's correct.
Great. Thanks so much for joining us today. Pleasure to have you.
Thanks for having us on.
Thank you. Good work. Yes, Silke, that's the goal, right? How can we get more people to support this, to buy it, to bring that beauty and the whole story of the flower back home, and how can we get more growers recognize the opportunity? I know it's difficult. There's some post-harvest handling that needs to be done that is a little tricky, that I'm sure Drew knows all about. We might want to do another show.
I think we may have to.
Yeah. This is such a big topic.
And before we go, I have to ask you. Now, we asked Drew what her favorite flower is.
Of course.
So to not ask you would just be, it just has to happen.
My favorite flower by far is lilac.
Oh, uh-huh.
Comes from a shrub and has a very short cycle in May, and it's just intoxicating to be near a lilac hedge. And Just want to quickly say, consumers, please ask when you buy your flowers for locally grown. Mm-hmm. It is in your hands, and you have the power to change the market.
Mm-hmm. And that said, how do you get ready? I read that Valentine's Day, you know, 3 months out, but still coming up, it's the one of the worst growing times for local flowers, and yet 35% or so of all flowers throughout the year are sold on Valentine's Day. How do you prepare for that? How do you compensate? What do you do?
I actually have to admit, I don't quite participate in that lunacy where every romantic on the planet must have red roses on that one day.
Right.
Just think about this for a moment, what that means to the rose growing industry, how manipulated the roses are, how long they've been in cold storage before they get to you. So there's beautiful, very passionately romantic pieces you can make without red roses.
And on January 9th.
That too. So I've in my neighborhood.
Well, I was going
to the
say
point
this,
was
this
it doesn't have to be on this defined day that was defined by the industry. Yeah. Silke von Bauer, the owner of Local Flora, a sustainable florist and eclectic nursery in San Anselmo, a beautiful small town in Marin County, California. Thank you for all you do and your commitment and your passion. It's it takes that leadership really in all aspects of the organic movement and the organic conversation and the sustainable way of relating to our natural resources and relationships. So thank you. What's the website people can order some flowers from you?
You can Google Local Flora San Anselmo, and our direct web address is marinflora.com. And we deliver and we do events. We've done 35 fantastic weddings this season.
But it's regional, right? You wouldn't deliver to across the country.
Oh, absolutely not. No, yeah. Regional. And
so people are going to have to, our other listeners from around the country are just going to have to come to San Anselmo to get your flowers.
Yes.
They can check out our beautiful website and take the images to their local florist and ask for locally grown flowers.
Yes, if you're in the
Bay, that region.
If you're in the Bay Area, enjoy the food and enjoy the story of your flowers. And that was this week's edition of An Organic Conversation. Thanks so much to our guests today. Again, here in the studio, Silke von Bauer. And that email is, website is marinflora.com, or just Google Local Flora San Anselmo, as well as Drew Rivers, beloved and revered farmer and co-owner of Full Belly Farm, a 300-acre certified organic operation in Guinda, California, that grows 100 different kinds of crops, including beautiful flowers with Drew's hand. Fullbellyfarm.com. And last but not least, Dr. Michael Keyes, the certification manager at Veriflora, a third-party flower certification agency in Emeryville, California. And that's Veriflora.com. Thank you again, all of you, for being part of this show today and for sharing your stories.
An Organic Conversation is produced by our amazing Jen Lloyd, associate producer, the outstanding Gina Rastani.
Outstanding.
Outstanding and in studio. Underwriting production is provided by The Ear, the one and only Mark Van Gelder. Thank you all. And also always, thank you to the team here at Green 960, Corey Calvert, Robert Costa, and Michelle Sinbandip.
Also always, thank you, our listeners, for being part of this show. I thought we would do this together, Mark, and for actually listening. For our blogs, podcasts, and more information on this show and previous shows, please visit our website at anorganicconversation.com. You can also find us on iTunes, where you can download An Organic Conversation to your iPhone or iPod or iPad. So you can listen to Mark or me wherever and whenever you want to.
You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter and many other social media services. Always look for An Organic Conversation. And we'd love to hear from you. Please send us your comments and questions to share@anorganicconversation.com.
Coming up right here after the hour is Your Supernatural Life with Beth Greer. Fantastic show on how to live a healthier, less toxic life. So please stay tuned. We're your hosts, Helge Hellberg.
And Mark Mulcahy.
And we'll be back right here, same place, same time, next Saturday at 10 a.m. Have a great weekend. And thanks again for listening to An Organic Conversation here on Green 960. I can still feel so much pain. That sky remains.